All right, we have only 9 minutes to talk about everything good and bad in the new iPads. Where do you want to start?
There's basically nothing new. You're going to use it the exact same way you would have used last year. Save your money. We're done.
Oh, that was harsh.
No,
That was like you're not pulling any punches.
it's funny. I've been a fan of the iPad for the longest time. And weird story here. I had actually won a first generation iPad is how I started using it. And at the time, my laptop was a netbook. If you remember those, this little tiny Samsung, 1 point some odd gigahertz Intel Atom, terribly slow. And I was doing customer support at the time, and it was literally faster to use what we're using then, desk.com, I believe, in Safari on the first gen iPad than it was to use it on that netbook. And ever since then, I've been trying to use an iPad as a way, as a work machine, right? I've always wanted that. That's been, the Mac Stories team has taken that to the next level, but I've tried to use it as a tool for work, and I still enjoy writing on the iPad. And so last year, finally, when they came out with the keyboard and the trackpad, I was like, you know, this is the one. Even though the spec bump last year was even worse than this year's, it was basically almost nothing changed. But it was like, okay, it's the newest model. I'm going to get this one. And I'm still very happy with it. And so I look at this year's listing, right? And there's the new CPU, the new M1 chip that's in there, but they're not doing anything new with it. So maybe we're waiting for the next iOS. We're waiting for WWDC. Maybe they're finally going to release DevTools or virtualization or something on the iPad. And this is hardware in waiting. But it feels like we've said this with the iPad for years now. And so it's wild to me that Apple hasn't pushed forward more there, right? Like you've got basically the same stuff as a MacBook Air, the new MacBook Airs, right? In this new iPad. Let's do more with it.
Yeah, and I mean we have one of those new MacBook Airs. We replaced a 15-inch MacBook Pro with it, and it is way better and way faster. It is as fast as the iMac Pro that I'm using now. And it's
Wow.
bananas.
Yeah.
It's so fast, and it feels so good. And they're like waking up from sleep. It's a dumb example, like, and it's so memeable, right? But like the way that that thing wakes up from sleep makes me feel like my iMac Pro is a dog when I wake it up by hitting the space bar on the keyboard, because it's like a 5 second wait and I can't figure out what's happening. Like, what is going on for those 5 seconds? Where on the MacBook Air, it's
Right.
just ready to go. And I don't understand that, like that aside, like it's an incredible machine, but you can do so much more with it. But there are things with this iPad that are really cool. Like the screen is amazing. 2,500 local dimming zones with 10,000 mini LEDs. Like it's not a micro LED screen, but that's gotta be one of the best mini LED screens I've ever heard of. Maybe the best. And that's five
And that's
times.
on the 12-inch, right? The 12.9-inch
Yeah.
iPad Pro.
Yeah. That's on the
Yeah, so we're
12.9-inch
still
iPad
looking at the
Pro.
11 looking mostly the same, and then the 12 has the better screen.
Yeah. The 11 to me is mostly unexciting, but that 13-inch with that better screen, that screen has five times more local dimming zones than the Pro Display XDR, which is advertised as a Pro
Whoa,
Display
really?
because of how many dimming zones it has.
Wow.
So it's putting
So
the
it's
Pro
one of
Display
those
XDR to
things.
shame.
It's like the original iPad was actually by far, if I'm not mistaken, the cheapest touchscreen you could buy with that quality of a screen at the time it shipped, right? Like if you were buying a cash register with a touchscreen or whatever, it would have been a much worse display at a much higher price range. And so the iPad in that perspective has been a great value all along. And then today that would make the 12.9 inch probably one of the best screens at that size that you could buy today as well.
Probably one of the best screens, period, that you could buy at any size. Right? Like
So
in a
you're
lot
getting
of
close
ways,
to OLED levels there.
I wonder how distinguishable it actually is between OLED. And I think in a lot of ways it's better, particularly for UI stuff, because you don't have to deal with burn-in.
Yeah, true.
And
Right.
burn-in is like the big enemy of OLED. And also it can get so much brighter than OLED.
True,
So that,
true.
and those are the two downfalls for OLED screens. So everything that makes an iPad good it's not a great fit for OLED, and I'm extremely jealous of the mini LED screen. I wish that the Macs were getting that one day. I love this
So you're
center
saying if
stage
we put
thing.
this display and a 27-inch iMac, put in the Apple TV smarts, and then you just call the TV and we're done.
Yeah, well, it would be too high resolution for a TV.
Yeah. 16K, everyone.
Yeah, it's a 5K television. It just wouldn't work. But, I mean, and this ultra-wide camera with the center stage thing, too, the idea of software kind of cropping in on a huge field of view like that and then just following you around right. as you move, like, I think that's super great. I get why it's on the iPad. It's the perfect platform for it. I'm not sure that even makes sense on the Mac. But I'm almost disappointed it's just a... it's just for like video calling because my yeah. immediate use, like my immediate thought for this was like, this would be perfect for vloggers. Plop that thing down, start yeah. recording and let it just follow you as you walk around. Like you put on like a live yeah. mic and you're ready to go.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
But that, it doesn't sound like that.
You could almost imagine doing that in a future iPhone, perhaps.
Right. I could see that happening in an iPad now if the software was able to enable it, but it always comes back to the software, right? Like, I always think about the edge cases. I know that, like, you've heard me talk about this before, but the idea that, you know, if I'm, and they're getting better, but we'll use photography as an example. Look, if I am gonna dump a bunch of photos onto an iPad, that was always kind of annoying before. And now it's a right. bit better with USB-C and Thunderbolt, so that's fine. That part's taken care of, but then you gotta get it into software. I just transitioned from Lightroom yep. to Capture One, so it's already a dead end for me. But if you want to use advanced yeah. Photoshop features, you still need a desktop. And like that's, yep. you could argue it's a niche, but it's a niche within a thing. And like, and then so if you get past the creative stuff that they're always advertising, where you're always going to bump into those extreme limitations where you're like, I can't do this and I need a bigger screen or a different OS altogether. Then the next logical thing is to say, well, what about normal people in normal business situations, like people that are just doing emails, Word documents? The iPad would be great for them. But the Office suite is still gimped on an iPad. It's a little bit gimped on a Mac too, right? Like my wife is in Excel all day and she couldn't yeah. do the stuff like the macros that she does on her work Windows laptop
right.
on a Mac, let alone on an iPad. So giving her Excel on an iPad saying, hey, here you go. Hope this works for you. Like every single person has some sort of weird niche where the iPad can't really be their only screen.
Right.
At least, yeah, at least yeah, for me, not really in like stuff. The, yeah, yeah. And yeah, of course, dev is a huge question mark, right?
Right. Just being able to, as the smallest example, and I'm not even a full developer, but you want to pull a GitHub repository, open and search through an entire set of files, replace some text, and then push that back up. And that is super easy on a Mac and all but impossible on an iPad. And it just feels like you've got this incredible screen. You've got this computing device from the future that's now running the exact same chipset as the Mac is. And yet it's being held back by software, both from the OS perspective and then the software ecosystem, where there's just not the software we want on that device. And it just feels like it could be so much more.
But here's the question that I thought of today, and I'm not the first person to say it, but maybe it's a good place to leave off. We've always said, what about iPad stuff coming to the Mac? But now that the iPad has the same chip as the Mac, could Mac stuff more easily come to the iPad?